This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM KMOX.
We are into the 7 o'clock hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Not only is it Graybar Sports Open Line, it is a Strike Zone hour, and we are with you till 8 o'clock this evening. We've got a lot to get to here in this hour. We are going to talk in just a few moments with a Battlehawks tight end, as Jake Sutherland is going to join us, and then City SC Sporting Director Lutz Fahnensteel is going to join us at about 7:35. Have an opportunity for you to chime in right now. If you've got anything to say Cardinals related, we can certainly take your text messages at 314-436-7900, and also we can take your comments on the video stream as well, if you would like to get into that. Kyle Sixt, our producer, just brought something to my attention, and it works out well because we need to do Building the Future, which is brought to you by Graybar. Graybar is headquartered in St. Louis, is a great place to work. So if you follow along with Cardinals prospects, there's a guy by the name of Joshua Baez, who at one point was considered a top 10 prospect in the organization. He really stalled out at single A, where he just had a really... He made his single A debut in 2022. We saw him there in 2023. We saw him there in 2024. And we saw him there to start 2025. In that time, he has completely dropped out of the Cardinals prospect rankings. That being said, he has seemingly had a breakthrough. Now, to be fair, when you're playing single A baseball and you've been around for a while, at some point you're playing against a bunch of guys who are probably younger than you. That plays into it. It's always, you know, you'll see college kids get drafted and they'll go to single A and they'll just dominate. And a lot of times it's because you got 22-year-olds going up against 18-year-olds, and then they're guys who don't really have long-term futures, and they're going to get to double A and they're going to get to triple A, and it's going to be more fair in terms of who they're going up against. I'm not saying that's what's happening with Baez, but this is kind of an interesting development, because Baez this year, playing high A Peoria, had hit 317. He was very active on the bases, with 20 stolen bases, only being caught twice, had an OPS of almost 900, and he has now been promoted to double A. So this is going to be the big question here. You know, the old adage in baseball is once you get to double A, you're an injury away from the big leagues. Sometimes that's true. More often than not, it's not true. But it does tell you that there's quite the difference going from single A to double A. You start facing off against, it's a lot tougher to get there, and you start facing some legit arms. So this is going to be really, really interesting to see now for a guy who formerly was a top-level prospect, what he's going to be able to do as he gets to Springfield here moving forward. Got a text message from, or not text message, but a video chat from Nick. And this goes back to a conversation that we had during the Redbird Rush Hour. And we were talking about the future of Nolan Gorman. If you listen to me very much, you know that I think highly of Nolan Gorman's potential. And I think he is young enough that he's still somebody who can break through. I don't want to just see the club throw away Nolan Gorman. He's a legit 30 home run guy who has basically been that guy at one point in the big leagues, but has not been able to replicate it. But it's still inside of him. It's still there. The question is it ever going to come out again? But it's still there. But the cold, hard truth on all of this is the clock is probably running out on Gorman because of the roster alignment that the Cardinals have. Nolan Arenado's not going anywhere. He's just not. And I mean, maybe if he puts together a really good second half of the season and comes around, maybe they revisit a conversation, or maybe a team gets absolutely desperate for a third baseman and can pick up enough salary. But barring something somewhat unexpected happening, Nolan Arenado is going to be a Cardinal for the foreseeable future, because teams are not going to pick up the amount of money that he's getting paid, and the Cardinals are not going to want to pay him a lot of that money when he's playing for another team. So it's probably just a situation where Arenado's a Cardinal. He's going to come up with the big hit here and there. He's going to continue to play high-level defense, and you're going to have a deep lineup with some other guys who are going to be most responsible for the run output. So that's one reason that Gorman probably doesn't have a spot. And the other is J.J. Weatherholt. And I realize that, you know, you don't want to count the old chickens before they hatch, right? Like, Weatherholt is still somebody who is in Double A right now. But Weatherholt is about as close to a can't-miss prospect as the Cardinals have had in a while. And all indications are that at some point in the next year, Weatherholt's going to be the starting second baseman for the Cardinals. He's at Double A right now. He's performing well. He'll probably finish out the year at Triple A. We had been talking like there was an opportunity for him to maybe make his major league debut this year, the way Mason Wynn did a couple years ago at the end of the season. I think how the team is playing probably factors into that. When you get into September and you get your couple extra roster spots, if you're not playing for anything, then yeah, it makes all the sense in the world to get J.J. Weatherholt in there and let him get his, you know, feet wet at the big league level. If you are somebody who, if you're a team that's playing for something and you've got an opportunity to add to the roster with pieces that can really help you win games, you're going to do that. And not that Weatherholt's not going to help you win games, but you get what I'm saying. There's going to be some guys at AAA who've been on the big league roster throughout the year who can do something for you. So I think the more they win, the less likely it is that Weatherholt is going to be here this year. But he's going to be here at some point. And there's certainly a legitimate possibility that he breaks camp with the team next year as the everyday second baseman for the Cardinals. So what do you do with Nolan Gorman? Oh, yeah, by the way, Avon Herrera, he is your DH, I think, moving forward more often than not. Maybe he'll catch here and there, but it makes so much more sense to have Herrera as your DH. And when he's not in there, you still have Burleson. You have the Burleson Contreras thing. You have the Walker thing to figure out. It continues to be a roster logjam, which is better than the opposite. You'd rather have more guys than you can play than not enough guys, but it still is a part of that. So that's kind of the short version, maybe a little bit longer than I meant for it to be when I started talking about it. But that's the short version of what we talked about on Redbird Rush Hour. So Nick sent in a message on the video chat, and he said, if Gorman does end up moving on and then gets right elsewhere and starts hitting 30 or more home runs per year, do you think that's a black eye moving forward on the Cardinals? And I don't. And it's not just because I'm trying to give some sort of free pass to the Cardinals or anything like that. But it is about two things. What's going to be your best roster alignment to get the most out of the Cardinals? And that is going to include Weatherholt at some point. So if you move on from Nolan Gorman because you want to commit to J.J. Weatherholt, I'm fine with that. I don't care what Gorman does. In fact, I'll root for Gorman. Outside of when he's playing the Cardinals, I'll root for Gorman. He's a good guy, and he's had some nice moments for the Cardinals. So, no, I'm not going to be bothered by that at all. And good on another organization if they are able to go ahead and unlock him. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. And we'll see what ends up happening. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. Like, all we're doing is counting. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that a roster spot for Gorman, especially once Weatherholt does arrive, it's certainly not a guarantee. Even with his role this year, Gorman doesn't really strike as someone who's going to be comfortable in that bench role that often. And I would think that, I don't think his trade value is high, but I do think, because of his ability to hit home runs, he is he's still going to be able to attract you something, because there are going to be a bunch of teams out there that feel like they've got the recipe to unlock Gorman, and if they can do that, they'll go for it. So I don't know if it's him getting traded at the deadline this year, if it's an off-season move, and At this point, honestly, I don't like what can he even do if he all of a sudden becomes a 30-plus home run guy, like just snap of the finger, that's all of a sudden who he is. You find a spot, right? You find a spot for him. You'd be dumb not to. But outside of like that happening, what do you do? What do you do? Because Weatherholt's on the way. Got a text message just now from the 314, says, what do you do with Brendan Donovan? Great question. What do you do with him? Because Donovan right now is one of the best players in the National League. Now, I think it's a little bit easier with Donovan because you can bounce him around all over the field. But is that really what you want from one of your main core players? Like, this is your guy who's going to hit third for you every day, but he's not going to know what position he's going to play? Like, that's okay, but I don't think it's preferable. I don't think it's the best possible situation. So they've got some things to figure out. They have some things to figure out here moving forward. And I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to play out. I do know, again, this situation is so much better than the alternative. You've got too many guys, and you got more guys coming on the way. That's a good situation to be in. You know, the Herrera, I've talked about this a whole lot because in my eyes, I think it makes a lot of sense for Herrera to be the DH more often than not, just not now, but for the foreseeable future. So that creates a scenario where right now you've got Joel Pozo on the roster as the second catcher. Well, at some point it's probably going to be Pajes and Crooks as your two catchers, but you have kind of a guy who's almost a third catcher who's also your DH. That just, it adds to the roster crunch. It's a good problem to have. You know, when you're sitting there and saying, how do you get Herrera into the lineup every day? That's something that obviously you need to be able to do. It's just, how does that whole thing end up playing out? And we can go on. I am going on and on. We can go on and on about this. For the most part, things like this do end up figuring themselves out. And I would suspect this is going to figure itself out. We also don't know, we don't have a track record yet on how Heim Bloom feels about these players, because he's really the guy who's going to be largely making these decisions, assuming many of these decisions are taking place at the end of the year. If there are decisions to be made at the trade deadline this year, I would think he's going to have a voice in those decisions, especially if it includes, you know, players going away. I don't think John Mozeliak is going to take, say they try to go get a relief pitcher of a certain stature, and another team wants a certain prospect from the Cardinals, and that player, that young player, is one of Heim Bloom's favorite players in the Cardinals organization. I don't think Mo makes that trade when Heim wants somebody to stay in the organization. So that's another part of this whole dynamic moving forward. But isn't it good that we're talking about these things? It's really good that we can talk about these things. If the team stinks, then you're doing nothing but finding runway and not really worrying about who's in the lineup, except for the fact that you want to get these young players the experience. They're still giving young players legitimate experience. That's the thing we've seen with Jordan Walker. I think the difference between Walker and Gorman right now is just Walker has been able to work on stuff in the afternoon in the cage and then try to implement it at night. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. They go back to you know, tweak something else, and then he puts it in. With Gorman, as he's trying to work through his issues, he's not getting as many games to be able to work through the situation, and that's one of the tough parts about what's going on. All right, here's what we've got coming up for the rest of the hour. We still have two more interviews to get to. Up next, we're going to talk with Jake Sutherland. He is a Battle Hawks tight end. Battle Hawks going into their final weekend of the regular season before they open up the postseason, and they are hoping for a postseason run that includes a championship that would be played here in St. Louis. And then we'll jump back into a little bit of soccer as Lutz Pfannenstiel, the sporting director for City SC, he's going to join us at 7:35, a conversation that I had with him earlier this afternoon. I will replay that at 7:35, and then lots of soccer talk with Jen Cease for a City Spotlight, which is going to begin at 8 o'clock. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. It's a Strike Zone Hour. We talk with Jake Sutherland coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue through the evening. This weekend, the Battlehawks are going to wrap up the regular season, but they hope that there's a whole lot of football still left to be played. Happy to be joined right now by tight end Jake Sutherland, who's a big part of this team. Jake, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Of course, I'm good, Matt. How about yourself?
Doing all right. So you guys wrap up the regular season this weekend. Is it a weird game? Like, I know you can't think about things the way I'm about to term this, but It doesn't have really playoff implications. You're playing the team that you're going to see in the first round of the playoffs. Like, what's the mental approach to a game like this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with no playoff implications, we're able to limit some guys' snaps, give them some rest. But as a team, we want to win this game as much as the next one, as much as the first playoff game, as much as when we get to the championship. We want to go 8-2. We want to have the best record in the UFL. So we're going into this game one and all.
This is probably a better question for coaches than for players, but I mean, when you're matching up against a team that you're going to see again a week later and it means so much, is it one of those where you try to win, but you also maybe don't try to show too much?
Yeah, I mean, I think all teams would probably have the same thought process and game plan going into playing a team in back-to-back weeks. Obviously, you don't want to show too much, but like I said, we are going to try to win this game, and I think we're going to do what we can to win this game, whether that's keeping it very basic or complex from a strategy standpoint.
You guys are on one heck of a run right now. In the first four games, you went 2-2, which is fine, but since then, haven't lost a game, six straight wins. Some of these games, you know, last weekend, a dominating win. The week before, you had to, you know, pull one out by just one point. You're finding different ways to win on an every week basis. Can you talk to me a little bit about the way this team is playing and this role that you guys are on right now?
Yeah, I think our team cohesion is on another level right now. I think we're all gelling together. And I think we're playing very complimentary football, offense, defense, special teams. I think our special teams has been solid all year. But whenever our offense is struggling, our defense steps up in many ways, and vice versa with our defense and offense. And like you said, we're just finding ways to win. I think that's one of the most important things in such a team game in sport, is just whatever it takes to win, whatever it takes to come out with a W on top is what you got to do.
All right, so your son Slade was born right before the season last year. I've got an 11-month-old at home. I've got a 6-year-old at home. I've been through everything that you're being through. I can't imagine going through being a pro athlete, being away from home, doing everything that you're doing. What has this been like for you from a personal standpoint, where you've got so much going on at home and you've got a job that probably isn't really conducive to the home life?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult, but the reason I am able to do this is because I have an absolute rock star of a wife who's an even better mother. I wouldn't be able to be in the position that I am and be able to do the things that I do without her. It's definitely difficult. It's very, very hard. But I also look at it as a way to be a role model for him, whatever future endeavors that he has when he gets older, which is kind of hard to think about at the moment.
Is like, I always get a kick out of it when my kids will sit there and like watch sports with me for a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, maybe they're gonna like baseball, maybe they're gonna like football. Have you done that a little bit yet? Is Slade sitting down and watching a little football on TV or locked into the year games, that sort of thing?
Yeah, my wife usually has the games on whenever we play. When it's not like nap time or sleep time for him, obviously he won't be coming to the DC game because it'll be 8 p.m. Yeah. But we got some sports on. We got a baseball and a basketball and a football for him. He usually carries a football around a lot too. So we've introduced him to some sports in the short span of life he's had so far.
Speaking of baseball, it was, you know, Battle Hawks Day at Busch Stadium just a few weeks ago. I know you were there, took BP. A little birdie told me you almost hit one out. Is that right?
Yeah. I played some baseball back in my day. I played football, basketball, baseball growing up all through until high school. I did try to play in college as well, but the schedule, our football and baseball schedule wasn't really meshed. But I wouldn't be opposed to a 10-day contract with someone just to show them what I can do. So I think I still got the baseball itch.
All right. Battle Hawks tight end, future baseball player Jake Sutherland continuing to join us here on a Graybar Sports Open Line. Now, you got, because of your position, you're a tight end, you get the opportunity to be coached directly by your head coach in Anthony Beck because he oversees tight ends. He was a tight end. He played in St. Louis with the Rams as a tight end. What's it like for you kind of having that more direct connection with your head coach because he also serves as your position group coach?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. One thing I always say about Beck is he's the same position coach as he is a head coach. I mean, he's a great leader, great mentor, and fortunately for myself, and I've been able to be with him and be coached by him for 3 years now. Obviously, he was an unbelievable tight end, played at the highest level possible, so it's great to learn from him and, I mean, learn from him on and off the field, to be honest. Because he's a great, like I said, mentor, father, coach, everything.
Not to look past this weekend, because this weekend is important, but obviously the postseason and the postseason fate is already set. Not only do you know who you'll play in that first round, but you also know that that game's going to be in St. Louis, and if you win that game, the championship game, the league championship game, is going to be in St. Louis as well. It was the same scenario last year. You didn't get there. Is that, how much of a motivating factor is that for this team, that not only are you guys going for a championship, but you've got an opportunity to potentially make that run in front of St. Louis fans?
Yeah, I mean, being able to make that run in front of St. Louis, in front of our fans, I think is huge. Not only for the league, but for our city and team. It definitely gives us an edge. And as far as last year is concerned, I mean, we kind of have that chip on our shoulder. We felt like we could have made it to the championship and won it last year, but we do believe we have a better team this year that is definitely more capable and set up to really make that run and get it done.
Jake Sutherland, he is a tight end with the Battle Hawks. They're going to be on the road against D.C. coming up this Friday, but then they're going to be back at home for the XFL championship game, followed, hopefully, if they win that game, for the UFL championship game, the XFL conference championship game the week before. Jake, thanks so much for taking the time. Best of luck over the next few weeks, and hopefully we can check in again down the line.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That's Jake Sutherland. He is a tight end with the Battle Hawks. Again, they're in action on Friday night on the road against D.C., and then the XFL Conference Championship game will be against D.C. as well. That will be in St. Louis no matter what. We'll take a break. We got a lot more to get to on this edition of Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It has been a crazy day for City SC. A press conference earlier today, you've heard much of it, but we're really happy to be able to welcome on the sporting director for City SC joining us, like I said, on a very busy day. It's Lutz Vandenstiel. Lutz, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you doing this with us today.
Always welcome.
What has this process been like for you? I know when this season got started, even going back to the hiring of Olaf Melberg, there is no way that you thought that on May 29th you'd be part of a press conference like this today. Can you take me through where you're at almost from an emotional standpoint going through all this?
You know, it's always difficult to let somebody go. And with Olaf only being here in charge for 5 months, it's obviously double painful. But sometimes in football or in sports, you need to make tough decisions, and looking at the results, looking at hardly also the performances. I think it's something which we had to look at it in recent weeks. The developments were not necessarily that positive. And, you know, I really wanted to focus on getting our team back into the philosophy which we had in there since day one, since I came in. it's like, for me, it was always the unnegotiable to have a clear philosophy, a clear DNA, a clear playing style. And I think we just have to get back to the roots, have to get back really to the basics, to start all over again. Yeah, I mean, obviously not easy, you know, if you're coming on a long streak like that, when players start to be frustrated, start to doubt themselves. But that's what I mean by finding the right moment to have a reset, to really start believing in each other again, and having still 19 games to go. There's a lot of football have to be played, so be ready for the challenge.
I promise you our conversation will focus more towards what's coming up and not what just happened. But I have to ask, there's been so much talk about maybe the system or the way the team's been playing recently doesn't go along with what City does and the system you want played. How does that happen? How do you hire a coach who ends up not running the team or not doing things the way that you were hoping that they would be done?
You know, it was a long process. It was a very detailed process for 5 months where we interviewed different candidates. We had lots of meeting and looking at everything what we put in there, from the interviews directly with Olaf to the talks to workshops to the data. It really looked for us that this is a really, really promising connection and that it really will work out. But sometimes in hiring an employee, in this case a football coach or a soccer coach, you never have the guarantee for it. And it happens in other fields of work as well, that the process looks great, everything looks great on paper, the talks went well, and there is just something which doesn't fit 100%. But in the end of the day, you know, it's an on-field matter. I will take full responsibility for that. And we also have to point out that this is not just a finger pointing at Olaf Melberg, not even a little bit. I think there is lots of other factors who played into that we did not get the results and the performances. And we all need to self-reflect when it comes to players, staff, myself, everybody included. But it's about to move forward, and it's definitely a very important decision to be made, you know, when we're looking into the next head coach. So definitely something to put our heads together to analyze and do better the next time.
The team has been really good defensively, has not been very good from an offensive standpoint. You've already spoken about, you know, putting a product on the field that is going to be entertaining to watch. Can you speak through that a little bit and what that's going to look like? And do you have to give up a little bit defensively to be a team that maybe can go out and have the ability to score some more goals?
You know, if I look at that, I have to disagree a little bit, because you're right. We started off defensively extremely well, which we didn't score many goals, but we didn't concede at all. We looked defensively extremely stable, but we didn't create that many chances. So it was a very, very high output of defensive play and a very low output success rate when it came to offensive play. But looking at what we did the last 11 games, I am also not really too happy the way we defended. We conceded plenty of goals. We conceded 2 goals, 3 goals, 4 goals on a regular base. And I cannot say anymore that the defensive shape, or we defended that well. And we also didn't really start to score that many more. So we went, even on that strength part we had early on, it went definitely a bit downhill. And that is where we have to go back to that City style, which I think made us into, you mentioned it, a super high-intense team, a team which likes to entertain the fans, where, yeah, if you attack a lot and if you play the opponent's half, you sometimes get exposed on the other side. But we showed it last year towards the end of the season after the transfer window, where we scored plenty of goals, where we had a decent amount of wins, where we would have been definitely on a playoff spot with the season that started actually by then. And I think that's what we have to get back to. Our style, you know, I mean, it's easy to explain. We want to have some front foot defending, want to be proactive. We don't want to sit deep. We want to try to attack already going to a press up in the opponent's half. If we lose the ball, get into a counter press. Want to be, I would say, a very difficult, even nasty team to play against, make it as uncomfortable for the opponent as it gets. And that was what made us in 2022 in Next Pro, in 2023 in the MLS, and since we exist in the Academy, always a team which was dangerous. And I think that's the basic points where we have to get back to.
you've been asked a million questions about John Hackworth, and I appreciated your answer today about you really need him shoulder to shoulder in his job, especially as you evaluate the roster. For many people listening to this right now, though, they just look at the cold, hard facts of when you needed an interim last year, it was him. This year, it's not him, but he's still getting assigned to coach a team because he goes to City 2. It almost feels like he's in a lesser position than he was last year. Can you explain to people listening why that's not true?
Oh, not even a little bit. Actually, John is as important as he can get. That's my right-hand man. That's a super important part of our sporting team as a technical director. You know, it's the bigger picture here for John Hackworth. I mean, he's an absolute specialist when it comes to U.S. soccer. It's an absolute specialist when it comes to structure, recruitment, academy, and I do need a lot of help. I mean, the hours we spend together is absolutely crazy. Not just with the first team, it's always about the bigger picture. And in that moment, for me now, coming up with a transfer period, which will be important, I need Hack to have Hack with me. The time he will invest with City 2, having Dale Shilly as an assistant plus another good coaching team around him, will be much less than focusing full-time on the first team. So we made that decision that David Critchley gets the opportunity, and I have to say he deserves the opportunity by being here in the club. He was actually the first coach I hired from Lufus by then. I remember the day when we met and spoke the first time about football, and I watched actually some of his U17 games with Lufus and said, you know, I really like your way of play. If we tweaked it a little bit here and there, I think that could be a great match. And I hired him a few weeks later. He's a big fan, a big believer in what we do. And somehow he eats, sleeps, drinks, and lives exactly that City style. And I think you see that week in, week out when he coaches City 2. It is extremely entertaining.
Yeah.
You see plenty of goals. You see plenty of action. And you see a lot of positivity on the field. You see a lot of life within the players. There is always some fire out there. And that is why I think David is for us at this moment in time the perfect guy. You know, he's one of our own. Again, an internal guy, a kid of the first hour, and I'm so proud and so happy for him that he get that opportunity.
How quickly, what's the process? Because City 2, you're right, they've been so entertaining, they've been so fun this year. What's the process like to get City to look more like the style of play that we've seen from City 2 with Critchley in charge?
Yeah, if I go back into the summer of 2024, we basically have the same squad available, minus injuries, of course. We added Timo Baumgartl, which starts a good number of players, very experienced, playing Champions League for Eindhoven. We added with Konrad Wallem, a player who plays everything so far, also a high-intensity player. So all the other guys are literally played already exactly in that style for years. Some of them came from Germany or from other countries, played in that style for many years. So this is not an adjustment period. I'm worried about it at all. They went on the field yesterday and they started, and it looked within minutes that the guys knew exactly what they were asked for. That was the way they used to play before, also in other teams. So that kind of new impulse, I don't see it at all as the danger. The players are confused and don't know what to do. It's very straightforward. It's a very direct playing style. It's exactly what people know within the changing room. It's what people know within the club. And most of the people, it's exactly also what people know in the stadium. And that's how we're going to play again.
Just a couple more minutes with Lutz Vandenstriele, sporting director for City SC. How important is kind of the interpersonal relationship type of stuff between coach and players? I know a lot has been made that players have been able to communicate with you guys on what's going on. These players, I'm sure, have to feel like they have a coaching staff that believes in them. When it comes to Critchley, can you talk to me through just kind of the importance of the off the pitch stuff when it comes to those type of relationships?
Yeah, I think the mental part plays a huge role. But, you know, but David Critchley is not a stranger to our players, because he was with us in the preseason camp with Olaf and all the other guys in Florida. He was watching a lot of sessions in recent months. So he knows a player. He has already an existing relationship with most of the players. Plus, we had guys like Edu Löwen, like Baumgartl, and many other guys playing a few games for City 2 to get match fitness. So there is a very good communication. It was already there before he got named interim head coach. or caretaker manager. So I think, I tell you, for me, it's more than 50% to have that relationship, to give the players the belief that they have good quality, that they are top players, that they can actually do the job out there on the field. This is super important. I think we need that positive approach, that the players will work hard together. They come together as a unit. You know, the time of moaning and being unhappy and finger pointing needs to be gone. And I think David made it very clear yesterday in his first team talk what is expected, not just on the field tactically, but also off the field, how the interaction between players and coaching staff has to be. And as I said, he's a young coach, but he really knows how to speak, how to present himself, and I think the players really appreciate that.
Final question for Lutz Pfannenstiel. Is there a scenario where a new full-time coach is in place even before this season comes to an end?
You know, I want to think from game to game. That is the most important thing right now. You know, for us, it's important now that we win. We have goals, but obviously we have to shave them down a little bit. And that's why I think thinking from weekend to weekend is the most important part now. We cannot rely anymore on a hard-fought draw, on a dirty 0-0, or just like picking up a point here or there. We need to win. That's as simple as it is. If we want to have a chance to achieve our goals, we need to get out there, especially at home, win our games, no questions asked. And I think that is how also David approaches it. I mean, for me, you know, as I said, I want to win as many games as possible. And if David Critchley is in charge for as many wins as possible, great. But on the other hand, we definitely also will look into the coaching market. We have to assess the situation. What is out there? Is somebody out there who fits in our way of play? And then we will assess the situation in the weeks to come.
Lutz, thank you so much for taking the time on a busy day. We really, really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much.
That is Lutz Pfannenstiel. He is the sporting director for City SC. We'll take a break. Have more in just a moment. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, back to the Strike Zone. Presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals. 104.1 FM. KMOX.
We're back at it here on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Starting to wrap things up, but don't go anywhere. On the way next, we are going to have City Spotlight. Jen Cease is going to be in studio to host that up until 9 o'clock this evening. She is going to have an exclusive conversation with City SC President Diego Gigliani as he'll give his thoughts on everything. We got to talk with Lutz Pfannenstiel just a little while ago. Look, this has been a really stressful time for everybody over at City. The last thing they wanted to have happen was go through another coaching change. And there is, you know, you can certainly look at the culpability and what's going on and the decisions that are made. And we've addressed those things for sure. But I got to give a lot of credit to the organization because for them to provide, you know, Lutz to me and Diego to Jen and just everything that's going on, it's I really appreciate them. So they've got messaging that they want to get out, and we'll help them with that. We'll give our takes on everything that's going on as well. But Jen's got a lot going on coming up on City Spotlight as she's going to talk through everything that has happened here leading into and since the coaching change and why the change was made and what to expect moving forward. So certainly you'll want to be tuned in for that. Speaking of wanting to be tuned in, you'll want to be tuned in coming up tomorrow evening. What's on Deck is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best. The Cardinals tomorrow, they are set to open up a series in Arlington as they are going to take on the Texas Rangers. Matthew Liberatore is going to make the start tonight for the Cardinals. 3-3 and a 2.73 ERA. Cardinals, if they can take two or three from the Rangers over the weekend, that's one heck of a road trip. They just got done taking two of three from Baltimore. So tomorrow night's game is going to start at 7:05. That means coverage begins at 6:10. Really, coverage begins at 5 o'clock with the Redbird Rush Hour, but our network Cardinals broadcast will officially begin at 6:10 coming up tomorrow evening. We have had just a packed show. Thanks to all of my guests who have been on the show today. Hopefully you have been able to enjoy it. If you ever miss anything, you can always head to the Sports Open Line podcast and check that out for yourself, and all the interviews and everything that we had on any given night available for you right there. So you can always relive Sports Open Line through the podcast. That is going to do it for the show tonight. Thanks for being tuned in. City Spotlight with Jen Cease on the way next. Don't go anywhere. You've been listening to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.